Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear the latest information on the new Minnesota Military Museum and get an update from Camp Ripley. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
With the 2020 elections right around the corner, I want to remind service members and veterans to exercise their civic duty and vote. The Department of Defense encourages all members of the armed forces to carry out the obligations of citizenship. But it's important for service members in a duty status to remember a few things. Service members are not authorized to engage in partisan political activity and should avoid inferences that their political activities imply or appear to imply official sponsorship, approval, or endorsement of a party or candidate. Regardless of your political affiliations or preferences, I encourage everyone to take advantage of the right to vote this election season.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to get an update today on the Minnesota Military Museum and Library. And joining us now is Mark Ritchie, who was recently elected as the museum's board president and, among other duties, serves as the civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army, and Randall Dietrich, who is the museum's executive director and a member of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs 9/11 and Global War on Terrorism Remembrance Task Force. Secretary Ritchie and Randall, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us on, and thanks for tackling this really important, special moment in the life of the Military Museum.
Well, this is going to be a special day, and we're going to talk about some bonding issues a little bit later in the show. But Secretary Ritchie, you've been on Minnesota Military Radio many times, especially when you were Secretary of State, and joined us, I don't know how many years, on the live show that we did every Memorial Day. And some people may not know this, but you used to teach history. And then, of course, you were Secretary of State for the state of Minnesota and supportive of our veterans and our military. Now you're the civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army, and you were recently elected as the museum's board president. Somehow or other, that all kinds of fits together going back to you teaching history, sir.
Amen. And in the middle as Secretary of State, I was on the board for the Minnesota Historical Society. And every time I turned around, I learned something new. For example, I just have been following a lot of General Eisenhower's work after the Second World War in bringing food and food for peace to the whole planet. And there's just a lot of new history. So if anybody out there listening is at the Mall of America, up on the third floor in the North Atrium by the food court, you can see letters from the children of Belgium to the children of America, thanking them for saving their lives because of the food aid, and that was really developed in the First World War, and General Eisenhower took it into what we call today the World Food Program. It was given the Nobel Peace Prize this week. Thank you, General Eisenhower, but that kind of history, I have to say, just rings my bell.
I can tell, sir, and Randall Dietrich, you're the executive director of Minnesota Military Museum and Library. Congratulations on roping in Secretary Ritchie to be your new president.
We're happy to have him on board.
Randall, can you give us a little history of the Minnesota Military Museum? It's on Camp Ripley. I've been there many times, and a lot of folks stop up there on their way to the lake in the summertime or the way ice fishing in the wintertime. Can you give us just a little background on the museum?
Certainly. I mean, it's on Camp Ripley. It's directly across from the flight path. It's a tremendous place to educate, inspire people. Young students come, grandparents come, a wide variety of folks have been visiting us for 40 years. And what's been happening for 40 years is that veterans have essentially been voting with their feet, delivering some of their artifacts, their letters, their keepsakes, their medals from service and donating to them to us. And we've been stewards of this story for the last 40 years. And at this point, our capacity to share those stories has well exceeded our capacity to show them in what is a relatively small museum space.
But Randall, for all the people in Minnesota that are driving by Camp Ripley, all they have to do is come to the main gate and say, I'd like to go to the Minnesota Military Museum. And the guard there will show them just drive down the street a little bit. And the way you have everything set up is just incredible. You have vehicles, you have airplanes inside, you've got things from the Civil War, from First World War, Second World War, Vietnam, Korea. I mean, it's incredible, and we really want our listeners to stop in and see it as often as possible.
Absolutely. It's spread over 6 acres. There's a dozen buildings that we maintain, packed with artifacts and books and everything else. So there's a lot to see there. And you're right. The friendliest guards in the whole world are right there at the front gate of Camp Ripley, eager to welcome people through and usher them just down the street to our museum. And again, we've been doing that for years and years and years. And we'll right now, we've been open all summer long, even with COVID precautions in place. And just now with October 1st, we've scaled back our public hours to Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 4.
And it has an amazing library that often people don't know at first, where you can research your family, research anything about it. Incredible artwork, and it'll have a collection from our own General Vesey, an amazing the only one in the country that'll ever be like that. So that's another feature that people, many people do come to appreciate.
We're speaking with Mark Ritchie and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum on Minnesota Military Radio. And Randall, I know that the former Adjutant General Rick Nash, Major General Rick Nash, I think he's a brevet Lieutenant General now, was close friends with General Vesey. And I think he was instrumental in helping you secure some of those items.
He absolutely was. I mean, what kind of, we had the best board in the whole world when you have, you know, Mark Ritchie and General Nash and others on our board. We've got good leadership at the top, and General Nash did spend an awful lot of time with General Vesey. We are the principal repository of Vesey's collection here in Minnesota. We're actually right now preparing some of those items in our collection to display at the new division headquarters in Arden Hills. That's due to open up November 20. So we'll be sharing some of those artifacts with the new division headquarters and then sharing them with people that come to our museum and learn more about General Vesey and his impressive career in the military and after the military.
Secretary Ritchie, Minnesota's got a long history in the military going back to the Civil War and Gettysburg and some of those things, and there's a lot of artifacts up there. But I read something recently. It says, it's been said that if you want to thank a veteran, be an American worth fighting for. I thought that was pretty interesting. And with your history as military, can you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's there's a prayer that Eleanor Roosevelt carried in her wallet that she would bring out during the Second World War in praying for those who are fighting and serving the country, but asking the Lord to make sure that her life was worth fighting for. And it's a kind of personal expression of that same notion. And I think the thing that's important about the museum that I always say to people when I'm encouraging to visit is that the displays are so personal about the people, the soldiers, the sailors, the families. And so you can read the postcards, the letters, and all of a sudden it doesn't become just something in the past or something over there or something, you know, in science fiction. No, it becomes about what a person had to say about their experience in their life. And I just think that part of the museum, that touching people's heart or touching people's personal lives, is one of the things that reminds us about that great wisdom you just shared about making sure that in our daily life, and our Adjutant General said, you know, voting is part of that. He called it a civic obligation. We have a right to vote, and he raised the stakes by saying it's an obligation. That's just one of the things that we all need to be doing to really be worth, you know, worthy of being fought for and in many instances died for. I wanted to add another very important place of where Minnesotans sacrificed a lot, you know, in that long, long list. When I was at my national meeting of the civilian aides, the Secretary of the Army, we visited the new National Army Museum. It's not quite open. It'll open in November. But in the first display we saw, it had tons about Minnesota's role in the language training schools for Japanese interpreters and interrogators in the Second World War. I mean, it was a fantastic display about Minnesota that was featured in our national museum.
Very good, sir. Randall, you've got a pretty excitable guy there, and you're president of the Minnesota Military Museum and Library. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got an incredible opportunity to create a new Minnesota Military Museum and Library on a piece of property just outside the gates of Camp Ripley. We're speaking with Mark Ritchie and Randall Dietrich about the Minnesota Military Museum and Library on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Mark Ritchie and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum and Library. Mark Ritchie was recently elected as the museum's board president, and among other duties, also serves as the civilian aide to the Secretary of the Army. And Randall Dietrich is the museum's executive director and a member of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs 9/11 and Global War on Terrorism Remembrance Task Force. And Randall, I want to come to you. We talked in the first segment about the fact that the museum is incredible, but it's packed, and you've got artifacts packed away and stored away all over the place. You have absolutely outgrown the space on Camp Ripley, and it's my understanding that an incredible opportunity came along for a piece of property right outside the gates.
We're on the move. Absolutely. We've worked closely with General Cruz over the last 2 years, developing a plan to build a new facility just outside the gate, just off of Highway 371, a very popular roadway every single summer with folks going to the lake, and just across the street from the Veterans Cemetery. So it's an ideal piece of property for us, prime real estate. And about a year ago, a local landowner who was a veteran himself donated 32 acres valued at about $130,000 to us to be the new home of the Minnesota Military Museum and Library.
And I understand that your vision for that new larger museum is to better serve the state's 308,000 veterans with sufficient space for reunions, exhibit galleries, classroom instruction, and artifact preservation. And apparently it was well received with the state, and you needed a little help from the state.
We've been reimagining how we're going to tell Minnesota's military history in brand new and imaginative kinds of ways. To do that, we need lots of support from that landowner, for instance, but also from the state of Minnesota. We had Bob Detmer come through and examine our plans, and we were included in that bonding bill, which has been debated this week, you know, at the state capitol, and we've gotten good support, and we're very thankful that the House of Representatives at the state level has passed that bonding bill onto the Senate. So things are looking positive.
Secretary Ritchie, for our listeners out there, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, and we had some information over the last day or so that sounds like the bonding for the new Minnesota Military Museum and Library is included in the bonding bill that's in the works. I imagine you've got high hopes, Mr. Secretary.
Yes, of course, we don't want to jinx anything, but of course we also have the obligation to be very well prepared, because you have to move when the bonding bill is finally approved, if it's approved today, and then the governor's signature. We need to be in gear because we want to be open by Memorial Day in 2023. But there also are other ways that your listeners can really be part of supporting this, because we're just, we're on a journey, and we need others to go with us on that journey. Randall's been an amazing executive director and connecting to a lot of different individuals and foundations. Randall, I know you've been pulling off a lot of amazing things, but I'm sure that you're going to need some more assistance from all of us as Minnesotans on this journey now that we're really down the road.
And Randall, I understand that all veterans and their families have a stake in this new facility. What's their mission?
Great question. You know, there's momentum going on here is the idea. One, that landowner donating the land, the state legislature stepping up and including us in the bonding bill. We had a local Minnesota foundation pledge $3 million to help us make this happen. What that leaves us with is about another $5 million we're still looking to secure from corporations, foundations, prominent families, and just everyday Minnesotans. So, you know, ultimately what we're trying to do is reimagine the story that we're trying to tell about Minnesota veterans. We take that endeavor to explore how we're going to do that very seriously. So we're going to pack our website with all kinds of information about how people can follow along in this process of creating a new museum. And in following along, we're also inviting them, certainly, to step up and make a financial donation to the museum because they support what we're doing, because they've visited us in the past, because they want to donate money on behalf or in memory of a veteran and their family as a way of having them create some ownership in what we're doing.
We're speaking with Mark Ritchie and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum on Minnesota Military Radio. And Secretary Ritchie, this is personal. This is Minnesota. This is about Minnesotans who served in the military, and we're saving information about all of those from the Civil War right through the World Wars, right through Korea. And I know there's part of an exhibit on Vietnam, and there's already some stuff in there about General Vesey. And if anyone goes in there, they might see an old uniform from a certain radio host that is in there. But this is personal. This is our museum here in Minnesota. So we want our listeners to go to mnmilitarymuseum.org and make a donation and help this happen. Mr. Secretary, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but you're pretty excited about this new facility.
Yes, and I want to repeat that also. Like that $3 million donation was in memory of a father, a veteran, a World War II veteran. I think it is a place, an opportunity to make a remembrance in that way. So that's one of another way people can contribute. But I do want to encourage people to go and visit because it is so personal. It is our families, but it's also our neighbors. It's the ancestors. But it's also our future. This is about public service at its highest stature, and it's about the individual lives. And so come visit that museum, go to that website, find a way to make a contribution now or perhaps in a will or a legacy, but know that you have an amazing organization that's not going to make it possible for Minnesotans to ever forget.
So you can make a donation at mnmilitarymuseum.org. Randall, you've got to be excited about the prospects of getting all of those artifacts out of all that storage and then laying them out so we can see it.
Exactly. There's 80,000 artifacts in our collection already, and that number is going to grow as we engage families all across the state of Minnesota. And now, thankfully, through the generosity of lots of people, we'll have the chance to do that hopefully very soon.
So for our listeners that might have other artifacts, hold on, hang on to them, go to your county historical society, or wait until we get this new Minnesota Military Museum up and built, and at that time, then you can participate in our Minnesota Military Museum. I can't urge the listeners enough, go up there and see this stuff. It's fascinating. If you're up at the lake and you get a rainy day, go out to the museum with the kids and your grandkids. Spend a few hours. You could spend days in there. It's incredible. Mr. Secretary and Randall, we only got about 2 minutes left. Randall, I want to give you the first one. You want to tie up some thoughts here?
Love to. Thank you. And we want to come back and share with your audiences more about our plans. And also a big push right now at the museum is this the 9/11 project. Gathering these stories from those soldiers who have served in that global war on terror. Go to our website, enter your story about your service over the last 20 years.
Very good, Randall. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having you on the show to keep track of this new museum coming on. And Mr. Secretary, we got a little over a minute left, and we're giving that to you for whatever else you want to tell us, sir.
Well, you kicked it off by saying, you know, we need as a society to be worthy and thinking about how we are serving our brothers and sisters in our communities day in and day out. And I think people who come and visit now and then the new museum, they will leave inspired to be better leaders, to be better parents, to be better citizens, to be better people. It's those better angels is what comes when you surround yourself by the memories and the personal story. So thank you for highlighting this, and it'll be a pleasure to be back. And I'm predicting a new shiny building will be being built by next summer, and that's my prediction. And that means we'll be moving in Memorial Day 2023. So get rested up.
And everybody will be able to stop in and see the history of the Red Bulls right back to the Civil War. It's exciting to do. For our listeners, once again, if you go to mnmilitarymuseum.org, you can make a donation and help bring the new Minnesota Military Museum and Library up to date, and we're looking forward, gentlemen, to following the progress of this. We hope everything works out well with the legislature in the next 24 hours, and we look forward to broadcasting from that new museum sometime in the future. Randall and Secretary Ritchie, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Mark Ritchie, and Randall Dietrich, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Military Museum and Library on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from Camp Ripley. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In this segment of the show, we're going to get an update from Camp Ripley, and my guest is Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's the Assistant Adjutant General, Joint Force Headquarters, Minnesota, and he's also the Senior Commander of the Camp Ripley Training Center, located near Little Falls. And General Cruz, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I'm excited to be back and be part of the great programming that you provide as we update the public on what's going on in the Minnesota National Guard and Veterans Affairs. So thanks for doing that.
Sir, we're going to talk about Camp Ripley, but first we have to get a message from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Here is Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In partnership with the Lutheran Social Services, Minnesota Service Corps is a nation-leading program designed to bring essential community-based services directly to veterans and their families across Minnesota at no cost. Due to its unique structure, this program also provides resources to previously underserved areas in greater Minnesota. Services include individual and family counseling, financial counseling, debt management, addiction counseling, disability service, and in-home counseling. The goal is to help veterans and their families to develop skills and draw on their own strengths to bring about successful and lasting family stability. After serving our country selflessly, veterans and their families can know that we stand behind them and we're ready to serve them. For more information or to request services through CORE, contact your CVSO or County Veteran Service Officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said earlier, our guest this segment is Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's the Assistant Adjutant General and also the Senior Commander of Camp Ripley Training Center, located in Little Falls, Minnesota. And General, we've had you on the show before, and we've had a lot of your other officers on the show. And 2020 has been what I'm calling a lost COVID-19 year. And I'm sure it's affected a lot of the training that's been going on at Camp Ripley. I know that when we sent soldiers to the Horn of Africa and when you sent soldiers out to the National Training Center, that they had to spend some time at Camp Ripley and make sure that everyone was healthy and not infected by the COVID. Can you tell us, you know, how severe has that affected your activities at Camp Ripley this year?
Well, COVID in the year of 2020, as you stated, I agree. It's really been a year of lost opportunities for the Minnesota National Guard and the public. But your National Guard and the Army as a whole is, like a lot of adversities we face, has figured out ways to operate inside of COVID and still be successful. And, it really started with our ability in June to get the second battalion of the 135 out of here and into their deployment in the Horn of Africa, as you stated, as well as prepping the 1st Brigade so they could successfully be at NTC. In both operations, we learned how to create COVID-free bubbles around those soldiers and how to hopefully find the asymptomatic kids that were COVID positive and isolate them and help them get through their exposure while preventing additional exposure of the rest of the formations. And the 1st Brigade was really successful in that. And the end of June, they were all here and received a COVID test. We tested about 4,000 soldiers here that were going to the National Training Center in the end of June. And we, throughout June and July, ran an isolation support facility where those kids that were positive, we gave them a place to be that we could safely help them get through that experience, and did a good job of keeping the brigade clean as they left here. That activity really consumed a lot of our June and July. We did have some normal drilling activity throughout the rest of the summer, normal ATs for some units, like the 151 field artillery. But all units coming in had to learn how to do a good job of screening their soldiers so that they could potentially keep the rest of their formations from getting sick or being exposed to COVID. And so, by and large, with a lot of the cancellations this spring and some of the changes over the summer, it's really been a fairly quiet year here at Camp Ripley for us. A normal summer, we're used to seeing maybe a battalion every 2 weeks, and in this case, we saw more like a battalion a month. But that also allowed us to have the time to keep everybody safe.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz on Minnesota Military Radio. In general, we sent a lot of soldiers out to the Mojave Desert for the National Training Center, and the reports coming back is that they did a great job. But one of the things that folks don't think about is they took a lot of equipment out there, train loads of equipment, and when they were done beating it up in the desert for a few weeks, they had to ship that back to you up at Camp Ripley. And you have to do some recovery options and get that equipment ready to go for the next mission. How's that going, sir?
Well, we're really ahead of schedule. Part of it is because the brigade did such a good job when they were in the California and the Mojave Desert of taking care of their equipment that it came back from that experience in better shape than a lot of other times. We started out busy in July, pushing 9 trains worth of equipment out of here. That's 9 1-mile long trains worth of Jeeps or Humvees and tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles and all sorts of pieces of equipment. While they were gone, we took ownership of some rail improvements. It's been a summer of fixing our rail infrastructure around the base as well. So we renovated a chunk of rail line north of the base, which when that equipment returned, allowed us to take 9 trains worth of equipment and turn it into 6 because we had more capacity to handle longer trains. And that allowed us to get those trains unloaded a little quicker and allowed my maintenance teams to get at fixing it sooner. And so we were very proud to be able to report that by the end of September, we were well into the 90 percentile of readiness again for all the equipment within the brigade. And that's just a phenomenal effort between the full-time mechanics that work here inside of my logistics directorate, as well as the effort of the brigade itself.
In general, the reward that the 1st Brigade Combat Team gets for being at the peak of the training in the United States is they get to go on a deployment, a large deployment after the first of the year, and you need to have all of that equipment ready to go, and it sounds like you're almost there, sir.
Yes, equipment-wise, I think the brigade's going to be in really good shape to deploy. We're working through. They're going to go to a mobilization site where they'll do some training first, and so we're trying to understand what pieces of equipment go with them to Kuwait, what pieces will just go to Texas and get used in the training piece and then come back here. All that equipment's going to get rail-loaded out of here at the end of February. So we're having conversations right now because we're not used to doing winter rail operations on just what we need to change or take care of or keep thawed out or keep covered to enable our brigade soldiers to safely get all that equipment back on those steel deck railroad cars and things like that. So we're a little worried that we're not as well, that we don't have that level of experience of doing rail ops in the winter. And obviously, all operations in the winter, you can be successful, but they take twice as long. So you just got to be able to factor that into your process as well.
In general, we just got a couple minutes left in this segment, but it's the Minnesota National Guard has the dual purpose. One is this federal mission, which are the deployments that we're talking about, and the other is the state mission. And I know that some of your troops have been called up to help with some nursing homes. They've been doing some COVID testing, and then of course they were called up to help with some of the riots that were going on. It's been a busy year.
Yes, we've become the Swiss Army knife for the governor as he tries to deal with some pretty serious effects of COVID inside of our environment, as well as, the societal unrest that comes with being cooped up and some of the issues that we continue to see in the Twin Cities. So, yes, we had soldiers that were prepping here in June to go to the National Training Center that had to unload and unpack equipment so that they could respond to Minneapolis to help with the rioting. And then we've had a constant drumbeat within our medical professionals, doctors, nurses, and medics that have been helping with the active COVID testing teams, as well as now in a couple of nursing homes.
Thank you, General. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's the Assistant Adjutant General, the Minnesota Army National Guard, and the Senior Commander of Camp Ripley Training Center, located in Little Falls. Having a busy year up there, a lot of deployments that you have to get ready for, sir. And we talked about the state support that you've supplied to the governor for in many different ways, especially the medical help in some of those nursing homes. It's got to feel good for your troops to be able to step up and especially your medical personnel step up and help their neighbors when they get a chance to get called up for state duty.
It does. That's probably the biggest heartwarming portion of being a National Guardsman is to actually serve in that role of being that community helper. Now, we're partially concerned, though, at the national level that, especially with this year of COVID response, that the public's going to continue to see us as a homeland security element. And, at the national level, we recognize you're part of the total army and have a federal mission there to deploy and support that as well. And so that's important to keep in mind.
Well, and we don't want to wear out the troops, sir. We've got to keep them healthy and ready to go. General, I know the Minnesota National Guard has an annual event it's called the Minnesota National Guard's Court of Honor, and it was held recently. Can you tell our listeners what that's all about and how that works?
Yes, well, it started out as a formal memorialization program back in the 40s and 50s when we were just, establishing Camp Ripley here, had all sorts of roads and buildings and things, and it became kind of vogue, I guess, to memorialize somebody that had done great things in the Minnesota National Guard with naming a building or a road or a train feature after them. Over time, we decided that was a little dysfunctional, maybe, because what happens when the building gets torn down? And so we created what we call the Court of Honor, which is within the Minnesota Military Museum as a display of several granite block walls where we permanently engrave the name of people that we are recognizing as having significant contribution to the Minnesota National Guard, as well as their communities. And so this year we had the privilege of nominating and installing seven more members into that Court of Honor. And all of them come with a long pedigree of service to the Minnesota National Guard and service in their communities. And so it really gives us a chance to recognize some of those people that may have left our formation, but not left our level of gratitude, but we still want to recognize that they are part of the foundation of what makes the Minnesota Guard great today.
General, can you give us just a little background on one or two of those? We've got about 2.5-3 minutes left.
Yeah. One great example of that is Colonel Bob Interest, who was inducted. Colonel Interest was a longtime full-time member of the Minnesota National Guard, as well as a combat leader through many of our different organizations. He culminated his leadership career as the commander of the 34th Armored Brigade Combat Team when they went to NTC in 2016. And Colonel Interest came out of that experience and retired from the military side. And now he works actively for an organization who provides us instructors to teach our commanders and our leadership how to do Minnesota or military decision-making processes and higher echelons of command. So, you know, since about 2017, Colonel Interest has been continuing to be a mentor and teacher into our formations. And really, his recognition was a combination of that overall military service as well as that current contribution now. Another great example of an inductee was a civilian. Very rarely do we induct somebody that hasn't had a military career. But this year we inducted a gentleman by the name of Marty Skoglin. Marty was the head of our environmental programs for the Minnesota National Guard for probably 20-plus years, and starting first as the environmental conservation officer working for the headquarters here at Camp Ripley. And in that role, he managed the conservation of the lands and the creatures running around in them on Camp Ripley. From there, he moved to being the head of our compliance division inside our facility management. And in that realm, was pivotal in helping us, you know, continue to show the world that the Minnesota National Guard and Camp Ripley lead the way when it comes to compliance issues of keeping the water and the air and things like that clean and safe for future generations. So Marty's litany of longtime service there was the reason why he was inducted. So those are two great examples out of the seven.
Very good, sir. And for our listeners, if they go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and put in Colonel Interest, they we had a couple interviews with him before and after he went to the National Training Center when he was the commander of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. General, we're just about out of time. I hope the rest of 2020 is better than it has been so far, and that 2021 gets back to some sort of sense of normalcy for you.
Well, we all hope that. I think we're going to end up in a new normal going forward. I hope that new normal includes the ability to congregate like we were all used to doing. But I do think that we'll probably some operations will change permanently, as we've discussed before. We're learning how to operate inside of the world of COVID and doing a lot of it with that work dispersed. And there's a lot of work within the Minnesota National Guard that will probably continue to be dispersed just because it's more practical. So.
General, thanks for joining us again today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, I'm excited to come anytime and talk to you. I love to talk about Camp Ripley. I love to talk about the great accomplishments of the people that work either here for me on the installation or in our many different units across the state. Minnesota National Guard is ready. And I'm at the highest state of readiness that we've been in. And we continue to do our part and for both our nation as well as our great state.
Thank you, General. That was Brigadier General Lowell Cruz from Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Marty Howes, who is the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer and a member of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Marty, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me here today.
Marty, how are our veterans up in Roseau County?
They're doing pretty well, but they're starting to get a little cold. The mornings are getting a little tough.
Winter has arrived in northern Minnesota, and it's not quite here in Minneapolis yet.
23 this morning.
All right. Now, during this COVID year, are your veterans coming to see you? Are they calling you up? How are you taking care of the veterans?
Roger that. Yep, by appointments, and they can come and see me as long as they're following the guidelines with masks and social distancing and that. So they're still coming in.
Very good. Keep everybody safe up there, Marty. We want to talk today about changes to direct deposit processing of VA benefits. I hear that there's been some fraudulent banking schemes and some things coming around, and the VA wants to take some action to tighten that up.
That's correct. Their goal is to stop that the schemes and fraudulent transactions that are going place. They're going to go with either calling in, or veterans can have their own e-benefits account, which would be over the internet, and they can change their direct deposit through that.
So, Marty, for those veterans that are already getting their VA benefits by direct deposit, do they have to do anything?
No, they don't have to do anything at all, but if they ever do want to change, they're going to have to either develop an account or have their CBSO go see him or her, and have them help them set an account up.
So once again, if veterans need help with anything veteran-related or benefits-related, just go see your county veteran service officer, and you'll walk them through the process.
That's exactly right. We're here to help, and we're here to make their life as easy as possible and do everything we can for them.
Well, Marty, I know some of those veterans are going to have trouble with the e-benefits or the 800 number, and we're glad that you're there up there in Roseau to help take care of those men and women that that might want to make sure that there's no hanky-panky going on when they try to get their VA benefits.
That's right. We're always here to help, and that's across the state. There isn't a CVSO in the state here that isn't going to be the first one to step up and say, hey, let me help you out here, and what can I do for you today?
Well, very good, Marty. We hope that you take good care of our veterans this winter and that it doesn't get too cold up there in Roseau County.
Exactly. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time for having us on today.
Thanks for joining us today. That was Marty Howes, the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. We have a mailbag question this week. Madeline from Plymouth wrote in and wants to know if Minnesota Military Radio is involved in Veterans Experience 2020 or E2020 that will occur virtually on Thursday, October 29th. Madeline, not only is Minnesota Military Radio involved with the event, but our show co-host, Doug Wortham and Jason Burley, will serve as event hosts and welcome the hundreds of veterans and service providers to the virtual forum. If you want to learn more about your benefits, have questions about issues that arose from your military service, or simply want to connect to the greater veteran community, visit minme.us, that's MNME.us, and register to join Minnesota Military Radio co-hosts Doug Wortham and Jason Burley at 10 a.m. at E2020 on Thursday, October 29th. Once again, please register at MNME.us. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mark Ritchie and Randall Dietrich from the Minnesota Military Museum, Brigadier General Lowell Cruz from Camp Ripley, Marty Hughes from Roseau County Veteran Service Officer, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we check in with the American Legion as they prepare for the year ahead. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.